Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast, where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to crack a humble idea and turn it into an awesome pitch for a radical movie. I am your host, and somewhat tired because I was at a convention all weekend, Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm a screenwriter, and I'm here to do that.
And I'm here to say...
I'm Matt Arnold, smoke-free since 1993, and writer-director second.
Since 1993?
I don't know, it just rhymed.
You were toddler, man.
Jesus, you are 8 years old, and you had smoked for since... Jeez.
I've never smoked, but that was just an elegant setup for... Freddie, what are we doing this week?
This week on Story Break, Joe Camel. For those of you who are maybe a little bit too young or maybe do not remember this advertising icon, one of you guys, give me a little bit of backstory on our bro Joe.
From Wikipedia, Joe Camel, officially Old Joe, was the advertising mascot for Camel Cigarettes from late 1987 to July 2nd, 1997, appearing in magazine. Okay.
10 years.
10-year appearance. He's basically like a cool-ass camel. He's like a man with a camel head.
It's here. I like this Wikipedia physical appearance. The character lacked many typical camel traits, essentially appearing as a muscular humanoid with a camel's head. Feet were almost always covered, a footwear consistent with the rest of the outfit. The character also lacked a tail or a hump. Advertising presented Joe Camel in a variety of fun and entertaining contemporary and fresh situations, wearing bold and bright colors.
how did they get away with calling this a camel and not having a
camel? He's a camel head.
Which I like.
It's very like BoJack Horseman.
Can I tell you a story from my youth about Joe Camel?
Sure.
So when I was in grade school, we had somebody come in to talk about like, hey, kids, smoking is bad, right? And it was like, you shouldn't smoke, et cetera, et cetera. And now that I think of it, grade school is probably young for this, but they pointed out that the nose and like mandible area of Joe Camel resembles a flaccid human penis.
Oh my God, it does.
And I think they did that as a way of like ridiculing the mascot. But I think it may have had the unintended effect of basically derailing the entire class to being like, let's look at pictures of his dick face.
So Joe Camel, he's pretty much always wearing cool shades.
Anyway, that's why I smoke.
He appears in cigarette ads with a variety of outfits. Like here's one where he's dressed as a pilot. Like he's in a tuxedo. He's in kind of like a Miami Vice outfit. His job was to sell cigarettes to children for 10 years.
Man, and the thing about what you gotta know about him is like he is as cool as smoking is cool, which is very, very cool.
I think we need to get one thing straight here.
None of us are smokers.
None of us are smokers. However, we need to acknowledge the following, and which is where I think a lot of like anti-smoking stuff falls short, which is if your anti-smoking campaign hinges on trying to sell the idea that smoking is not cool, you've already lost because objectively, smoking is cool.
I mean, it's like trying to say
to any teenage listeners of Story Break. I just want to go on the record saying that smoking is not cool and don't smoke; it'll ruin your life. I feel like I need to put that out there at least once before Matt and Freddie, also non-smokers with healthy lungs, keep plugging the idea that to you that cigarettes are cool.
Smoking, the devil's work.
Smoking sucks. Don't do it.
Smoking is incredibly unhealthy. It is a disgusting habit. Don't do it.
However, objectively, it's cool as hell.
Like, I'll put it this way, skydiving without a parachute is dangerous and will kill you. But it's like, dude, that's you watch that in a movie, you're like, that guy was cool. Whoever just jumped out of an airplane with no parachute has got some balls on him. He's dead, though.
He's dead.
So,
he died.
Okay. But here's what I like. It's like,
but media hasn't helped, right? Like, if it's like all the cool images of our favorite, cool male
icons.
Here's
the thing, Will. You're
going
to sit there, like, any teen that's listening is going to be like, Will's maybe right. Maybe smoking's not cool. And they're going to look at a picture of anybody cool smoking. And be like, wait, smoking does look cool. So here's the thing, kids. It does look cool. It's super bad for you. It's not worth it. Don't do it.
I'll prove it to you.
Okay.
Is that look at any of these pictures of Joe Camel and picture him without the cigarette.
It's not as cool.
No, he's just as cool. You're following. For the cigarette marketing trap, which was that they took already cool dudes like Humphrey Bogart and they put a cigarette in their mouth, right? And then you went, oh, that cigarette is cool. No, Humphrey Bogart's cool. The cigarette is just part of his aura.
I don't have to imagine because I'm looking here at a picture of Joe Camel on a motorcycle with a female camel on the back. And he doesn't have a cigarette. And you know what he looks like? A flaccid penis. Then I look at one with him and cigarette. Okay, regardless. So all seriousness, smoking's not cool. Okay, let's talk about cool smoking Joe Camel. So here's the thing. The reason he's gone is because, yes, they realize, like, you cannot sell cigarettes to minors, which is what Joe Camel is doing. Because no adult looks at Joe Camel.
Right. We started the clock, right?
We're going to start the clock just as soon as we finish.
Let's start it now.
Let's start it now. Otherwise, we're going to start ranting about smoking for forever.
Here we go. Joe Camel, the movie, the TV show, the whatever, starting now.
All right, so this is where my mind immediately went to with this idea, which is that Philip Morris insisted that Joe Camel was not marketing to kids.
Yeah.
That this was just a cool camel. Here's the only way I'm comfortable doing a Joe Camel movie.
Yeah.
And not to block us into a corner right away. I think you do that Joe Camel's the cool spokesman for Camel cigarettes, and he thinks that he is this style icon for sophisticated men who like enjoying the occasional cigarette and sophisticated urbanite ladies as well, you know, socially chic. Like, he thinks he's this cool mascot, and then he finds out that his cigarettes are being marketed to children, and he's on a mission to stop kids from smoking.
Yeah, or cigarettes are
cigarettes are bad.
Yes, I think that initially. I don't know if he necessarily needs to be going. I don't know if he needs to become a hero and go off and try to save kids. I do think that it is definitely like Wind Rises style. Like, it's this guy who has an existential crisis, who realizes that his life is not only meaningless, it is harmful to humanity. And how he deals with that, I think, is the character. Whether it's depression or, you know, whatever is going to be his ultimate saving grace. But yes, I agree. I think it is definitely. The angle here is definitely we are not doing just cool Joe Camel from the Joe Camel commercials. We are doing Joe Camel Lives Today, where he realizes smoking's horrible and now kids are vaping. Which I feel like vaping definitely needs to be an element.
Is there like a cool new vapor that's like Vic Vapor or something like that? Who's like
Vic Vapor.
Can you imagine them trying to sell vaping with
it's like a sloth who vapes, like this dope, cool sloth?
Vic Vapor.
It's just his tagline's like, take it easy, vape it easy.
Vape it easy. All right.
So really quick, in the same way with like Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. Like Joe
Real
Camel,
quick, any artist listening, I will pay for a commission of a sloth vaping, and then the tagline is vape it easy. Throwing that out into the universe. Like, the
vaping is also not cool.
No.
Teens.
In a weird way.
And adults, frankly.
But yeah, everyone. It's not very
influential teens.
It almost is so uncool, it comes back all the way around to being cool again. No, it doesn't.
Don't smoke. My dad smokes. Please stop smoking, Dad.
Matt, we're going to do a movie that's going to this is the goal of the movie, is to convince your dad to stop
smoking cigars. Okay, so wait, really quick. Is this like BoJack? Like, is he a camel? He's just a real camel.
He's a humanoid camel.
Yeah. So we're just going to, like, because I feel like we spent like 40 minutes trying to get caught up on Chuck E. Cheese, whether or not
we can't dabble in any of that.
Joe Camel is exactly how he looks like in the real world.
Yes.
It's just humanity's just accepted him as who he is.
Yeah.
He's Joe Camel. Okay. It's like Ted. It's literally Ted. It's like Seth MacFarlane, if he was listening, which he definitely was listening to a Chuck E. Cheese episode. It was like, guys, you're just making a fucking teddy bear in the real world. You don't have to question it. Okay, so he is Joe Camel in the real world.
I'll throw this out at you. Is the movie set in the modern day, or is this like a biopic? Do we follow Joe Camel's rise and fall? Do you know what I mean? Like the
holy shit, is this like Curious George? Was Joe Camel picked up in the jungle? In the desert?
Yeah, Philip Morris was like, they were on an expedition to find new tobacco leaves.
Oh my God.
they were in Turkey, like, you know, trying to find like the most, like the best hookah blends to like put into the, and then they
he found this Curious George-esque. He found
I don't want to turn it into like, now I'm like, I'm just going down this horrible orientalist route. I'm like, he made a bargain with a genie.
I was going to say, he found a camel that had no humps and was all weird, and all the other camels were making fun of it. So our hero.
And he gave the camel cigarettes, and then the camel was cool to all the other camels.
Okay, that's one movie.
This is why we've avoided. This is one of the first ideas we have for a story break. We kept being like, I can't do this. There's no way not to do this problematically, and this is why. Okay, what is this movie about?
Yes. Is this movie about a teenager trying cigarettes for the first time? And then Joe Camel shows up as like this sort of Tyler Durden-esque like sort of like voice in their head, or like they slowly like they smoke a cigarette and they wake up and they are Joe Campbell.
It's like the Santa like Claus.
Like, here's just because I don't know, like I'm just trying like to take this from a personal angle with cigarette. Yeah. I don't know, like I'm sure you guys all have. I'm like, okay, like look, mom's not in the room. Yeah. We've all smoked before. We've all tried a cigarette before. I don't know if Matt the has.
Devil sticks.
Have you smoked death sticks before?
Yes, I have smoked cigarettes before.
Here was my first experience with cigarettes.
Okay.
Just to get just a real talk with some teens on this podcast. Yeah. I am picture me flipping my chair around and sitting in it backwards. It was my freshman year of college, and I was like, I want to try cigarettes, right? Like I didn't have them in high school. I was just like really curious. Like all cool screenwriters were smoking cigarettes, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And ironically, it was Camels, and it was the most embarrassing story of my life. I walked into the liquor store, and I was so fucking nervous. I was 18. I was like trembling. I just felt like my mom was going to kick down the door and yell at me at any given moment. And I went up to the guy and like I'd only seen this in movies, so I just asked if I could buy cigarettes. And he just gave me this blank look and said, "What kind?" And then I said, "Camels." It was the only one I knew. And then he looked at me again and said, "What kind?" And I was like, "There's fucking kinds." Like I kind of like and he just gave me unfiltered Camel cigarettes, which I don't know if you've ever smoked an unfiltered cigarette, but it's basically like shooting yourself in the face. So I went outside and I smoked two, and then I vomited the entire night.
Whoa.
So
see, Camel worked. You knew which cigarettes to order because of freaking Joe Camel. Like, here's the thing. The kids, Cowboy's not for the kids. Joe Camel was for the kid, Will. Like, you weren't like, I'll get those Marlboros. It's like, no, I want the Joe Camel.
The only... Marlboro needs to Marlboro's entire ad campaign needs to just be about how to pronounce the name of their cigarette.
Marlboro. My first experience smoking was with my family, who is very Texan, and I was like 12 or 13, and all the uncles were smoking cigars, and then all the cool cousins that were either 18 or near 18 were also smoking cigars and making fun of us youngins who couldn't smoke cigars, and they all gave us cigars to smoke. And then one of my cousins put out the cigar in his hand, and all the uncles laughed and then told us to get out of here because we're too young to smoke. And I didn't know how to smoke a cigar, and I inhaled it and completely just inhaled it. And I have asthma, so I just coughed for the rest of the day. So I was like, I don't get this. This sucks. I don't know why anybody smokes.
My first experience with cigarettes is I took one drag, and I was like, this sucks. And I threw it away.
There you go.
I was like, no, thank you.
Let's because we've wasted 15 minutes talking about our really boring smoking experiences. What happens if it is like it's Aaron Brockovich versus Joe Camel? Joe Camel knows the secrets that can finally bring down the tobacco company.
The insider, but it's Joe Camel.
Joe Camel's the one who took down Joe Camel in the first place. It's like, yeah, it's the insider. It's like he realized what was going on. He's like, I don't think I should be doing this anymore. I'm very clearly like Joe Camel. At one point, Joe Camel's walking around. And like he's like, you know, he's on a date or whatever because it's the freaking time of his life. He's a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
He is the hottest shit in Hollywood. All the celebs, all the stars.
They love him.
And like somebody like, you know, whatever hot starlet he's dating this season is like, have you noticed that everybody who comes up and asks for your autograph is a kid? And that's what starts the check. And I was like, what do you mean? I mean, that's not true. I'm a smoking advertiser. It can't be children. And then he starts going down the rabbit hole. He starts realizing it's him becoming self-aware. Mm-hmm. And he starts realizing it. And then at one point he talks. He's like trying to change it up. Like they have some like line that he says in a commercial. And he tries to change it and make it like a little less like cool. You know, like they want him skateboarding like you're talking about. And he comes in, he's like, oh, I lost the skateboard. I think I should just be on a motorcycle. And they're like, what's going on? And finally he just presses them. He's like, guys, I'm freaking advertising to kids. We got to stop this. And they're like, you got a contract, motherfucker. You can't get out. And it's all about Joe Campbell like trying to take them down from the inside or whatever.
I want to just very quickly take umbrage with a statement they had earlier, which is, well, that makes Joe Campbell the hero. Joe Campbell is neither hero nor villain. He's just Joe Campbell, man.
He's just a camel, man. He's
just a man with the head of a camel who likes motorcycles, playing pool, wearing tuxedos, and smoking cigarettes. Does that make him a bad person, Matt, to you? Is that someone who's bad to you? Someone who's evil to you? No.
Well, he's got to start. Yeah, it's like, is he going to lose his wealth? Is he going to lose everything to take down this company? And they're like, yeah, at first it's like, you got contracts. It's like, you really want to go back where I fucking found you in the desert when I was Curious George.
You want to get back there and schlepping around caravans and oases? No, you have it made here. And it
so then he's, yeah, so then he's got to find like a reporter and he's got to start leaking them information and whatnot.
It's like a taut political thriller.
Let's go with it.
Go. We're going.
20 minutes. minutes in. We got to go with something. We're going with the Joe Camel Thriller.
Joe Camel Thriller.
This is our Oscar movie.
Joe Camel The Insider.
This is, we're pitching
so
this
what's
to.
What's the story of The Insider? Because that's Russell Crowe.
Michael Mann did that. Oh, if anyone was going to direct a Joe Camel movie, it would be Michael Mann.
Okay, this is the Michael Mann Joe Camel movie. Like it took a while for everybody to accept smoking was bad. Correct. Like it wasn't. People thought it was healthy for a while.
Yeah.
For so like when? What was the time period? And when did it? When was the crossover with Joe Camel?
All right, let's see. In July 1997, under pressure from the impending Mangini trial, and Congress and various public interest groups, R.J. Reynolds announced it would settle out of court and voluntarily end its Joe Camel campaign. The new campaign with a more adult theme debuted instead of Joe Camel at a plain image of a quadrupedal non-anthropomorphic camel. In 1991, Janet Mangini, a San Francisco-based attorney, this woman sued R.J. Reynolds, challenging the company for targeting minors with his Joe Camel advertising campaign. In her complaint, she alleged that teenage smokers accounted for $476 million of Camel cigarette sales in 1992.
Whoa!
When the Camel advertisement started in 1998, that figure was only at $6 million, implicitly suggesting that such advertisements had harmed a great many teenagers by luring them into extended use of and addiction to tobacco products. So that was essentially the smoking gun. Was like, you're like, no, it's just for adults. And like, okay, then how come sales of cigarettes to minors have exploded? You know, for your company since the debut of Joe Camel.
Smoking Joe's racing, and it's cool Joe Camel pointing at a motorcycle racing.
He is sort of like a kid's idea of what a cool adult is.
Yeah, that's like what I mean. It's like it's not a real cool adult. It's just he's constantly playing pool and.
Okay, sorry. This case is fascinating. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to our podcast listeners as well for listening to me just read through this. So they did. They found internal documents produced to the court. Demonstrated the industry's interest in targeting children as future smokers. So the importance of the youth market was illustrated in a 1974 presentation who explained that the young adult market represents tomorrow's cigarette business. As this 14 to 24-year-old age group matures, they will account for a key. This is what happened to me! I watched the ads my entire childhood, and when I panicked in front of the fucking liquor store guy, the first word that blurted out of my mouth was camels. Yeah. So this was their whole goddamn plan.
and now you're a smoker for your time.
And now I have all sorts of problems.
And they say advertising doesn't work.
A 1974 memo pointed out that capturing the young adult market is vital because virtually all smokers start by the age of 25, and most smokers began smoking regularly and using it. So they knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Okay, all right, to hone this back in. I like this, and I actually like doing a weird historical. So you would do it's the story of this, but then you would do like it's like Deep Throat, like Watergate, like he's the inside man who produced the documents, and like I don't know.
It needs to be he. I mean, okay, so yes, we're just accepting the problematic nature of the fact that Joe Camel is essentially going to be the hero of our movie.
Janet Mangini, she's the attorney on the, it's not just him. He's got to work with someone, right?
Yeah, so, like, but I'm saying the arc, I mean, she's just an awesome hero from beginning to end.
Yes.
His arc's going to be a lonely loser person who got this hot shot stardom and then is slowly becoming to realize that what he's doing is immoral and wrong and hurts the world.
So
then realizing that that's actually a problem and he actually learns to care about it. So then he risks his own personal wealth and fame in order to do the right thing and start leaking insider information to the lawyer.
To bring himself down.
Yeah, so to bring himself down.
Okay, cool. I don't want to throw a wrench in the works. I just want to acknowledge the following, which is we are taking a real story with probably very real heroes and people who leak these documents and then just inserting a fictional reality of like, and by the way, let's say the mascot was a real thing and just repeating that and then just throwing that in there. I know that that's a problem. That would be like saying like the Watergate and then this cartoony Watergate bug mascot was the one.
The real hero.
Hey, you know, Hidden Figures? They got help from Joe Campbell. That's what we're doing.
Like the March on Selma started with one wacky talking bus who decided to make a difference.
Right. It's essentially what we're saying here.
Oh,
which is,
now I hate it.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
What do we do?
Why can't this just be a relic of the time? Why
okay, fuck it. Make him the bad guy. How about he's trying to take her down? Let's just make her the hero. Jill Campbell's like, this fucking lawyer is going to take all my money and fame. This is him as an anti. This is Goodfellas. This is Jill Campbell is a nobody and fucking realizes, you know what he's got that everybody else hasn't got? He's cool to kids. And that's what's going to make him big in this world. And he freaking gets wealth and fame. And this nobody lawyer, this stupid woman's going to come after him. Fuck no, he's taking her down, but he loses in the end.
It's like Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, it's Wolf of Wall Street.
With a real wolf.
With a real wolf.
I love it, Matt.
Okay, let's just do that.
It's the ultimate American dream.
So who's this awesome lawyer?
It's like Scarface. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I'm saying, make him
so
the villain.
Yes, it's this dark story of Joe Camel's rise to... Here's what's going to happen is you're going to have so much fun making him the bad guy that you are going to make cigarettes.
He's going to accident... In the same way Scarface, all of hip hop misses the point of Scarface. Like this is we're going. We'll just
end it just like Wolf of Wall Street. We'll just point the camera back at the audience. We'll be like, "That's on you guys, not us." So we're good. So look,
okay, Wolf of Wall Street with Joe Campbell.
Well, here's the thing. It's like no, I mean not because I fucking loved Wolf of Wall Street. It's like the way you do it is like no, you secret. The secret of that movie is like yeah, he seems cool, but it's all about him being a petulant child on his bed as his wife is leaving him. Like Joe Campbell's gonna have a scene where it's like Joe Campbell's not cool. Joe Campbell sucks. It's all about there's that smoking gun recording of literally he gets a job because somebody's like, here's the real question, Joe, can you get us the kids? And Joe's like,
there's one thing I can do.
And it's like, that's it. That's what this whole case is on, is whether or not they purposely target it. And it's like, he knows he's good with the kids. Oh, you know what it is? You know what it is? Is okay, yeah, you definitely do this guy who wants to be a star. And yes, you do a little bit of like he's a weird camel, like so it's a little bit weird. And he starts like first, like of course he starts at the circus and he wants to get out because he wants to be a big star. And it's like literally it's the one thing he ever had success at is like he's good at kids' birthday parties and shit.
The kids like him.
And it's like, in oh circus, yeah. It's like I fucking know my audience.
Oh, and then you do. Okay, this is fucking great. Is you do yes, he was a circus freak. Like that circus freak is literally the least woke term you can use for anything. He was but again, like you knew like this is like, you know, he yeah, it was like come see this weird camel man or whatever. Yeah. And then, but yes, he was. So you would do someone.
Oh, he's immortal. He's been there since the early 19th century. The great camel man. Just throwing that in there. A little flavor.
We'll work on it. You do, like, it's so, like he was. After, because like you know, like, and he would, they would put him in this humiliating act, right? He would have to dress up in a silly outfit, and you know, like make goofy jokes, and everyone would laugh, and then throw up. Yeah. Kids loved him or whatever. And then you would do like one day after the circus, he just gotten done shoveling shit, you know, for the he's like the Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights. You know what I mean? He's exhausted, and he's back in his blue jeans and his T-shirt with the fucking sleeves rolled up, and he just sits down on the stoop and smokes a cig.
Yeah,
and then someone sees him.
Who ran Joe Campbell?
Or you do someone takes a photo of him. Like someone like again, like a journalist or a photographer snaps this shot of Joe Campbell smoking a cig on the porch, and then you cut to RJ Reynolds or whatever scratching their head looking for this new ad campaign, right? And they're interviewing photographers or whatever. It's this middle management guy, and then he sees this photo and he's like, that's the guy.
I mean, I would even do, you could do the photo, but I would even do that. Yeah, you do. I'm trying to find out whoever discovered Joe Campbell. Oh,
wait.
RJ Reynolds. RJ Reynolds is going to lose Campbell's account, and he's got to go to his fucking stupid circus with a shitty wife and his shitty kids, and he's frustrated and depressed, and he's fucking furious, and he gets in a fight because he's a horrible human being, and yes, he walks out, he walks out of the circus, and he's gonna go smoke a cig out back, and he sees this camel
He hears one sentence, got a light, bud, and he turns around, and there's the camel with the cigarette, and he lights his cigarette, and then the two of them starts talking, and he's like, holy shit, that's it.
And then that's when it would be that literally
could
that
be,
moment.
Wait, what if it was this? If it was instead of losing Camel account, there's no such thing as Camel cigarettes. They named it because he's like, this Camel is going to take me to the top.
No, you're right, because it'd be weird. Like, the coincidence of finding a Camel for the Camel cigarette. Well, whatever. But you know what it is?
No, I like it. Because he's been thinking about literal camels. Like, because you do the Camel cigarette brand as a
real thing. It's a real thing. But here's the thing, is like you literally, he's like, you got a light, and he lights up Joe Campbell's cigarette, he's looking at him, and then all of a sudden he looks, and there's a mom dragging a kid to the bathroom, and the kid just freezes and just looking at the camel, and that's when the guy realizes, I know the fucking play here. Get the
yeah,
kids.
It's even
like
this,
literally, this guy's gonna save his job by getting the kids.
It's his idea. Exactly. It's like they haven't. He's the one that discovers like we need to target the youth.
What were you doing? It's not that he discovers it in that moment. You would do that. Okay, just to throw this in there. Like he's been working on like clown branded cigarettes. Do you know what I mean? Like he thinks the way you get again, they used to have like Fred Flintstone used to smoke cigarettes. Like and he's like, okay, we want to like his whole thing is he wants to get the robot made from the Jetsons to smoke a cigarette, right? Like, and he's like, this is going to do it. And it's just not working. Yeah. It's not sticking, right? And they're like, and he's like, then he sees this kid and this reaction to Joe Camel. He's like, of course. Yes. You don't market to kids by fucking putting cigarettes on kid shit. You market, you sell them the sex. You sell them the, you sell, again, like,
that's, you sell them being an adult. That's what's, if a camel can be an adult, then a kid can be an adult.
Yes!
So you have this guy. So, yes, you have, like, and then you get the fun of, like, it's a little bit of, like, the weird, like, you know, Joe Camel doesn't trust this guy. He seems kind of sleazy. He's like, where's my money? He's like, look, man, I don't have the account yet, but, like, come to my place. I'm going to take photographs of you. And the guy's, like, a little bit weird.
This is
and
weird,
right, you
like,
this, like, yeah, it's just, like,
sexual.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the rise of, like, a porn star, essentially. Yeah, yeah, so you play at first. And just, of course, Joe Camel would betray R.J. Reynolds, the guy who made him in the first place. There'll be a moment where, like, you know, Camel Company comes to him. He's like, hey, you know, we really like you, Joe, but we're thinking, you know, R.J.'s a little old-fashioned. We think you should be on motorcycles and shit. He doesn't think so. And RJ's like, well, you know, Joe's got my back. He's like, I don't need you, RJ Reynolds. You needed me. You always needed me. It's like, I'll put you back in circus.
I just want to put out that RJ Reynolds, the actual guy, died in 1918. I'm just going to throw that out there because he's the founder.
It's the marketing. Oh, it's the marketing firm.
RJ Reynolds is the tobacco company that owns the Camel Cigarettes brand.
Oh, okay. So whatever. This is some guy who works.
There's an ad man. Yeah. Or they're thinking about shuttering the Camel brand because no one buys them anymore. Yes. Yeah. Or something like
that. Yeah. It's the classic. If you've seen Mad Men, it's the classic. The advertiser is going to lose the account, and they come up with this. The Camel brand cigarettes hated their freaking. They did four brand ideas and they hated them all.
Yeah,
and this is his last chance.
Okay,
and he's got nothing.
So this is kind of like the founder or something like that. Like about Ray Kroc. Like so it's like you do. It's like it's this dark American dream story. So okay, I like that a lot. I like you start with Joe Camel. And again, like then you know. This idea that like they're gonna
here's what we need. We need the
I love that an adult if a camel can be an adult, a kid can be an adult.
And so so here's what we need for it to be like a whole movie in terms of like what is going to be the story of Joe Camel's fall. It's like what is the equivalent in Boogie Nights of Joe Camel fucking his girlfriend and then staring at his own flaccid penis in the mirror at the end. Like, what is Joe Camel's? How do you start? What's the introduction of Joe Camel's dream? And then what is his
disgusting end?
What is his karma?
I don't know exactly, but just to try to do an act break. I feel like act one is we introduce Joe as this. You know, he's at the circus, right? And he's like Dumbo. He's getting laughed at and getting pelted and humiliated. Again, they make him dress up in a goofy outfit, and he's like, "This is bullshit. I'm not again." Like, and they sell him as like, you know, the like it from being from the Far East or something like that. He's like, man, I grew up in fucking Detroit. This is bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just look like a camel. It's not like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So you do this ad man who's got the old man Reynolds is breathing down his kid, breathing down his neck to market cigarettes to kids, and he's been trying to figure it out. And he goes to the circus with his family and he has a fight with them. He hates children, right? Like, so this is even like the idea that kids are gonna get sick and hooked on cigarettes makes him feel great because he's like, I hate kids, I hate my kids.
So I was gonna say really quick, this fucked up. This bite does not exist in this world, but since he is an actual camel, I feel like there's a scene. I feel like there's a scene where he's like at a bar and he's like with all of his actor friends, and it's the rabbit from Trix, and all of a sudden he's like, man, he's like, yeah, I just landed my cereal. He's like, god damn, like I'm still in a fucking circus, like all I want to be is a star, because this is like the heyday of kids mascots.
Yeah,
and he's just like
he
can't get
can't get work because kids, the camels are just lame.
They're
like,
lame.
Rabbits are cute. And
you
like,
gotta have a scene with his agent, right, where his agent is like, Joe, I don't know what to tell you, but your face looks like a penis. No kid's cereal brain is going to want to. He's trying to become a cereal mascot. That's what you do at the beginning. He's been spending he's got his headshots and he's handing them out to, you know, Nabisco and General Mills. Like, he wants to do a camel themed cereal.
Gross. Yeah. You do this scene, he goes in for this, like, it's like this creepy audition. They're like, all right, take off your clothes. And he's like, okay. And then he takes off his clothes and everyone's like, where's your humps? He's like, I don't have his. No, you got no humps. We're thinking of doing a desert themed cereal,
and we do need the humps.
It was all about the bulls are on the humps. Like, it's really the whole thing.
It's the whole thing is like hump.
Well, I can put like I. You can just put humps. It's like by that point, like we can just find a camel with humps. He's like, God damn it. So, okay, so he's this
weird, Mr. Ed style,
misanthropic, just piece of shit.
I like that. There's like the Trix Rabbit is this fucking asshole. Yeah. It's just who always seems to be getting like gigs over him or whatever.
Okay, sorry. So I interrupted you, but yes, this is the world that we are in. It is the height of 90s cereals mascots, late 80s mascots. Everything had freaking mascots.
If you're a mascot, the money's in cereals.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to get on a cereal.
But
man,
he's at a circus.
I feel like this whole thing has a Goodfellas-esque VO, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, definitely Joe Camel's giving
you
a story.
All my life, I wanted to be a spokesman.
Yeah. Yep. And like all those movies, a good portion of the audience is going to think they're super cool, like Scarface.
Okay, so. So he meets. So Act One, he meets R.J. Reynolds. Not R.J. Reynolds. He meets
Adman.
D.J. Reynolds.
D.J. Adman.
D.J. Adman. So he meets D.J. the ad spokesman.
Yeah.
And then they have this moment, right? The gotta light moment. And then the guy lights his cigarette, and then he sees this kid staring at Joe Camel smoking his cig, and he's like, "Holy shit, this is it!" And so then you would do. He's got to convince Joe to do it, right? Like Act Two is like the refusal of the call. Like, I don't know, cigarettes. Like, once I can't smoke cigarettes. I'm like, I want to be a kid's thing. Movie star, right? He's like, Joe, your face looks like a dick. You're never going to be a kid's. You got to be yourself, man. You're cool. Like, I've been following you around. And again, for him, he's like this, you know, he sees himself as this frustrated, you know, domesticated, you know, middle management dude. And here's this, like, you know, he sees Joe and he sees that this free will, and he follows Joe to the pool game and the jazz club. And he's like, you have it. Like, you got the thing. So Joe decides to take this shot. Maybe this can lift his profile, you know, like he can, you know, and he's done shoveling shit in the circus, so he decides to go for it. And then you have to, then you do their fight within the tobacco company itself.
Well, yeah, I say the great moment is the first thing you do is going to, because he's thinking in terms of like, there are specifically designed to sell cigarettes to kids. Mm-hmm. And you have that, they've planned it all out. He's going to be cool. And he comes in and it's like, he's got the cigarette and he's like, smoking's cool. Come do it. Like, come on, let's go. And it's like, he's lame. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, I don't see this. I don't see how it's going to happen.
This.
And it's like not working at all. And the guy's like, get your shit together. It's like, what it is Joe Campbell's too desperate. Mm-hmm. He's trying to be cool.
Yeah.
They need that moment where finally they're like, no, I don't think this is going to work. And then Joe Campbell like flicks the cigarette. The guy's like, no, that's fucking bullshit. Like, I've worked my whole life for this stuff. And he just sits there and he's like, no, what? You guys leave this room. I'm staying. And he just lights the cigarette. And they're like, holy shit.
Roll this.
It's like, he learns these guys just stop giving a shit.
Yeah, I like that it is like, again, he has to sacrifice, give, like, that being cool is about not giving a shit about anything, which is the numbness, is the awfulness of cool. Cool is the enemy of genuineness. Yes. It is the enemy of being real.
And that's why he's okay with kids dying from his product, because he's literally, in order to get this job, he's learned to stop caring about anything.
So essentially that's your act three, your kind of road of trials, right? So yes, you have the convincing, getting the old stiffs at R.J. Reynolds to get on board with even doing the idea. Yeah. Then you have the first photo shoot and it's not going well because he's not real, and like each step of the way is like you have to give up another piece of yourself, right? Like you have to, again, like it's about Joe Camel learning not to give a shit. And
then you have that montage of him like walking around town and people start noticing him, and then he, you know, do that thing where like he sees kids like run out of a store with some cigarettes and in the alley, and he like looks at them and he gives them a wink. They're like, oh, he's like, I was as cool as you could be. Yeah. like this shit was
the Trix Rabbits, like he steals the Trix Rabbits girl at the club or whatever. He's like, later.
Enjoy your cereal. You want to go smoke outside? Yeah, it's like he's the coolest shit.
Enjoy your sugar milk, baby.
What's funny about this is it's like we're treating cigarettes like cocaine. It's like we're like, cigarettes are horrible. It killed everybody. So,
okay. So I like all that. And then, it feels like you have, that's your momentum, right? And then you would do, but again, this is going to end with him making it, you know, like he's on the back cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
1973 man of the 1994 man of the year. So, you know, whoever it was, but on the back.
Yeah. It's Joe, baby.
All around. You do the shot like panning across the news, like the news racks, and from the front, it's all the Time covers, but on the back, it's just him over and over and over again. Mm-hmm.
So it's a classic Icarus thing. He flies too close to the sun, and he wants more and more and more because he's killed this part of his soul, and now he has like this kind of hole in his existential bucket, right? Like he has an ache that can never be satiated. It's like so that's essentially the next question is like
kids wanted to be me, and their moms wanted to be with me.
Sorry. Had all the brands lined up like bowling pins. Harley Davidson. Like, right, he can just go and just list off stuff.
I imagine, I'm trying to remember how it is in Wolf, but there's that moment, the turn, it's like everything's at the height. And we as the audience knows that he's essentially
lost. Well, that's when the lawyer shows up.
He's lost his mortality and whatnot, or his morality. Like, he's just, yeah, it's like he's, you cut to, it's like he's got supermodels in bed, cigarettes are everywhere, he's hacking.
Everything is his Joe Camel branded stuff. He's a Joe Camel branded pool table. He's got Joe Camel, like.
Well, he's joyless. You would have something that's like something that was joy for him while he was an actor, and it's like you'd show that it's joyless, and that's the moment when he's walking in, somebody walks into the lobby and gives him a look. He's like, who's that? And it's like the introduction of, it's like in the way they do, like, Chandler, Kyle Chandler's character. It's not like, he doesn't come in and be like, I'm coming after you. Yeah. It's like this, like, slow, it's like, who are these guys that are kind of walking around?
Yeah. Well, okay, so a couple of things.
Yeah.
It feels like you would do, something that leapt to my mind is that he did have this, it's a classic artist story.
Yeah. Right?
He did have this authentic lifestyle. He played in a jazz, he played bass in a jazz.
Yeah, band, yeah.
And he hung out at this club with these actual cool dudes, right? And then it would be like, he would come back and they would not recognize him anymore.
Yeah.
He would be not welcome there, essentially. Yeah. Like, he's a phony now.
Yeah.
And like, they were real and he had something real and then he just decided to market it. And so like, he doesn't have a real home. He doesn't have real friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, he's, you know, dating supermodels and like he has suck ups. And again, he's surrounded himself with people who just love the image but don't see him for the real him, right?
Yeah.
So that would have to cause him some pain that you have to, you know, sort of figure out how to tease out the drama of that.
And he, you know, he deals with that by not caring anymore, by being emotional, putting up walls and diving into drugs. And he definitely does other drugs.
Start lacing them cigos with the harder stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay.
My camel's had horse in it.
So the.
Him buying like cocaine from like a young kid on the street. Like, hey, don't I know you?
So, all right. So obviously, one thing that starts happening is kids start getting cancer because they're smoking a lot more.
Yeah.
I just there's something that leapt in my mind is that it feels like you could do a scene where like it's this, it's like Make a Wish Foundation and this kid's dying and he wants to meet Joe Camel. And then Joe just thinks he's doing this Make a Wish thing, and then maybe that kid is the one who's like, "Why, Joe? Like, why'd you do it? Like, look at me." Or it's the kid is like, "Oh my God, is Joe Camel my hero?" But the mom is like, or the dad or whatever is like, "You fucking killed our son." I don't know.
That's pretty good. That's
something like that.
Yeah,
that feels like,
need,
a,
like just a moment
four type thing.
I mean, do
kids get cancer that fast
from smoking a few cigarettes? I feel like lung cancer is like
a slow burn, if you will.
Just like a smooth Camel cigarette.
Younger smokers are greater risk for developing lung cancer. But
I mean, that's one of the reasons why people do is because it's not like an instant.
Lung cancer in teens. You can absolutely get it as a teenager.
Yeah.
Right. It's just,
That was in, did you see Thank You for Smoking?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had a kid. Yeah, that has cancer from smoking cigarettes.
It's an odds game, right? Because you're doing damage to the tissue in your lungs. And as that cell growth regenerates, there's a chance of cancerous growth. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could just roll bad odds. And
okay.
What's this lawyer's name?
Janet Mangini. So at some point, like, it would be Janet. This is so trite. Sorry, Janet. Like, Janet catches her kid smoking Camel cigarettes, right? And she's like, what the fuck?
And she's like, why? And then, she looks up and sees, and then realizes that her kid thinks Joe Camel's fucking cool. And she's like, this isn't for adults. And of course, she knows everything about him because, of course, he's hidden his life of being in the circus and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, this is a circus camel? Like, this is a guy who's, like, lived his life, like, freaking, like, you know, working with kids. Anyways.
Okay, so I get that as the sort of, like, the other force that's going to be coming after him. So Act 4 would essentially be that force rears its ugly head. It would be kind of building in Act 3, and then, like, it would be, like, you would have your big turn, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay,
what does he lose? That's ultimately what, right? Like, it's very easy. Like, Wolf of Wall Street is like, this guy gets, I mean, again, the joke is that it's ultimately he didn't lose all that much. But, like, he has the wife, he has the car, he has everything.
Oh.
He's got the company. What does he ultimately lose? And it's like, obviously he's going to lose his job, but what's
he loses,
the...
Well, by the way, going to your point earlier, you start with the guy, with him, that the cereal brand is like, we want a camel with humps.
Yeah.
And at the end, they replaced him with a camel with humps. Like, they replaced him with just a normal, non-anthropomorphic camel. So he got obliterated, essentially. Now he has nothing.
Yeah, that's a good visual. I'm trying to think of, like,
a foreshadowing, even. Yeah,
it feels like you do, like, but you kind of want that cynical, like, you know, like, but they're just gonna have to figure out new ways to market cigarettes to kids, like, you
well
know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, you're gonna get that regardless. That's gonna be like the that's the that's the that's the Wolf of Wall Street ending. He's still making money talking about his story.
Well, I mean, being in prison. or he rose and burned out, and then the cigarette company smoked him to the nub like an old cigarette and flicked him out. He is a nobody now.
Yeah.
And then, but
cigarette
then,
company,
the
ad,
they keep going.
The
keep
ad
going.
Man is just moving on to his next thing. Like, yeah. No. Again, it almost feels like you would do like, he gets confronted and. I'm just trying to like, what? How does he react to this pressure in his life from this, you know, like this brewing, you know?
It's got
to
be some sort of controversy, right? He's got to go nuts.
He would get ambushed and confront. Like, he thinks he's going to go on to Leno and do an interview, and he gets confronted with like some tough question, and he blurts out more or less that of course we advertise to kids they're future smokers, and they're like, holy shit, or something like that.
Yeah, or again, he would. I mean, I feel like you'd start getting sabotaged, and then he'd be like, again, it would be about lies. He'd have to start lying about the fact, like, I don't advertise to kids. I'm a freaking adult. Like, look at me. I'm cool. It's like, again, there's these smoking guns. This lawyer is on the trail, so he starts getting paranoid, and he's trying to, him and the ad guy are trying to get rid of their evidence and their all that stuff. Like, because you have to do that, like, they're getting closer and closer to, because again, I think you definitely do the court. It's like, I feel like eventually he goes to, you need that, like, you can't handle the truth moment where he's like, of course I sell to kids. Like, how else are you supposed to do? Where he is, like, smoking.
Smokers die.
Like,
where are you going to get new smokers? The conveyor belt of moms pumping out spawn into the world.
Like, you know how many people become successful lawyers like you? No, most of us are just circus freaks. The only thing that gets through is they are fucking cigarettes. So start it early, kids. Because that's what it's like. It's like,
yeah, he has
like,
a breakdown.
He has a breakdown where he's like, yeah, it's like, stop, don't give a shit. Just smoke a cigarette. That's what he learned from all this. That's what his life has brought him to.
Yeah.
And then he reveals, yes, of course this was for kids.
So that feels like that would be, that's the climax, right? Yeah. Like this big trial and this blow up, right?
Yes.
Like, or is that act four?
I feel like that's it, because I feel like what I was trying to get is like, you need the rose. Like, what's the, after that and he goes home, like, what's the moment? Because that's essentially him realizing, that's like his therapy session. That's his home opening up and realizing like he's no longer any, he's smoked himself dry. He's nothing. He's gone as a person. Like, so like, what's the, yeah, I mean, what's the cost of that to him? Like, what's the moment where he, you know, I'm just trying to find the
denouement.
Does he have an emotional redemption, or does he just, I mean, it feels, I mean, like, yeah, this happened to a lot of the guys who were spokesmen for Marlboro, is they got cancer from smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, so you could definitely do that. He flips on the tobacco company. Do you know what I mean? Like, he actually becomes their star witness or, like, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could do, like, he is facing the bullet of his own mortality now because of where his choices led him. And it's like, are you going to do one real, authentic thing in your life or not? I don't know.
Does it start like Ratatouille, where he was like a bunch of, he was like lived with a bunch of camels, and he's like, this desert's stupid. I'm going to go and be a big star. And then he comes back to the desert. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like,
are his parents like normal camels? They never understood him.
Yeah, never understood
him. Never understood me.
I'm going to be a star. I'm destined to be a star.
Yeah, he's just like, you do that scene where he's got like his bindle and he's like, I'm going to be a star. And he's just talking to two camels that are just drinking out of an.
You do the shot, it's a bunch of camels walking across the desert, and then at the end of the trail of camels, it's Joe Camel walking on 2 feet holding his mom's tail.
Yeah.
He's always a little bit weird because he's got no humps, he walks on 2 feet.
Yeah.
He's just the weirdo. He's like, I'm going to be a star. I don't know.
I kind of like that, actually.
And then he comes back. Well, yeah, it would be that, of course, it's like he comes back, it's been years later. It's like his parents are dead, of course.
Yeah, yeah,
there's nothing for him in this desert. Mm-hmm. He just
walks out into the desert alone.
Yeah, yeah, essentially. Or he sees an oasis and it's a mirage.
Ooh.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, he was hunting for. Yeah, he was chasing something imaginary.
That's
film school 101, everybody. That and see, you can get away with a lot if you just do somebody stares at a weird image at the end.
Him,
hey, it worked for Chicken Cross the Road. So.
Him winding up at a mirage, the mirage metaphor, I like quite a bit because that's what he is. He is a mirage.
That's how he gets kidnapped.
Kidnapped.
No, back to Curious George. Bear with me. How he got to America in the first place. He always wanted
to
be something bigger.
He wanted to go chasing a mirage.
Yes. He walked away from his parents because he saw a mirage.
Yeah.
He's always hunting something. Mm-hmm. And he walked into a caravan of some sort. Like, oh, look at this weird fucking
camel. The circus caravan.
Yeah, caravan. And he got picked up. And you know, and the guy's like, and again, similarly, the guy's like, hey, you know, yes, they kidnap him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so always he was always looking for something more. And the mom would be like, you know, just stay your course. Like, stay in line, son. Like, you know. we love you. And all of a sudden, he's like, fuck that, I'm testing for something else. I got you, you weirdos walk on 4 feet. I walk on two. He also just hates it because he can't even hold water.
He's just he's thirsty all the time.
Yeah, he's in the house. Yeah.
He's always thirsty. And then he's always thirsty.
Oh my God.
He's impossible to quench. He's just, yeah, it's a fucking story about ambition.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's great. That's really, really good. All right.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
All right, I adore that. We still have
eight minutes left.
We have 8 minutes left.
He's gotten nothing. He's lost everything. All of his money is taken up by this lawsuit. It's all confiscated. He's got enough for a plane ticket. He's like, know what? Yes, he's gonna have. He wants to have his emotional redemption. He's like, I'm gonna go see my parents again. It's like he hasn't talked to them in 15 years. Camels don't live that long.
No, camels live very long.
Well, his parents did. He comes back and he can't find them. And yes, you do. He's sitting there in the desert. He can't find his parents, and he sees a mirage over the horizon. He starts walking towards it.
A little trite.
Yeah.
I like it at the beginning. I think it's great because it sets up the whole theme. And again, it's like almost like smoking itself is like you're not, it's not food.
It's just smoke.
You even have some.
It's just smoke, baby.
Yeah.
It's just smoke. Yeah. And it is like that it's, that becomes the that becomes the tagline for the marketing campaign. It's just smoke, baby. But that would be something that the tobacco man tells him. He's like, we're not selling anything you need, right? Like, that's why it's sex and glamour and bullshit, because it's all bullshit. It's just air. Like, we're just like, we're not selling you. It's just smoke. It comes in, it goes out. It's nothing. Like, but it just poisons you. Anyway, but yes, I like that idea of him chasing the mirage, right? But I am like, if this is Oedipus, like he puts his eyes out and cuts his tongue off and he becomes a blind beggar, right? And this king becomes a beggar. So like, I am like, I don't think you can just like, and he's still chasing the mirage at the end. Like, you don't
want to do like he died. I mean, yeah, I guess the implication is like James Dean, like not James Dean, because James Dean wasn't that. But like, I think the implication is like essentially he's dead at the end, like emotionally or like, I mean, Oedipus cutting his eyes out. It's like they've lost what was driving them in the first place. He doesn't have anything anymore.
I know, but I feel like you need something to give it a sting. Like it needs a kind of iron. Like bear with me.
Yeah, no, I know.
But like it would be like you would do. He cleans up. He gets his life together. Right. Like he's not a celebrity anymore. He, you know, goes into rehab and he, you know, has a family. And then again, he thinks he's put his life back together. And again, like the end of Goodfellas is really nice and ironic. It's not just the guy gets whacked. It's the guy has this shitty existence now, right? Like he's in witness protection. He can't be a mobster. Like, do you he still has that itch, but he's like trying to, I don't know. Like it's, I don't know. I'm, that's what I'm struggling with. I'm like, what?
Is there a way to tie it back to cereals? It's like all the mascots are gone at that point, right? Like it's at the point where, same in that time period, right? It's like, it feels like a lot of those kids' mascots disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Too, right? Is there just a world where it's like they all just become these like lonely, forgotten souls?
Yeah, maybe it's just everybody hates him. Like he just can't, like, it's, I mean, it's not the same, but I just think about like when killers or pedophiles or people eventually get released into the real world, it's like you have this tough, like, obviously there's some cases, but there's like, you know, Ashley watches, my wife listens to a lot of serial murder podcasts, and some of those guys is like, one guy got let free and they had to change the rules, but it's like he literally couldn't go to a town. Like he would move in, everybody would find out where he lived, they would just boycott and make his life miserable until the state or himself just had to move. It's just like the guy's not wanted anywhere. His life is just nothing but moving from town to town that hates him. Like that is about as bad of an existence, but I don't know what.
It just doesn't have a punch to it. I know. It's like you might as well have him just get hit by a bus. Like the.
The Shield has a great. I mean, that's a. Like the anti hero, like the Shield has a good one too, where it's like he's in a shitty desk job essentially now. Because he got immunity and all this other stuff. Sorry for spoilers for the Shield. And it just literally ends with the image of like he can't do anything. He hears sirens and he gets up and he's got the same face that he always does when he's about to cause trouble. And he just fucking walks out the door, you know, before he's supposed to clock out. And, you know, you don't know what he's doing, but it's like, no, this, like, Vic Mackey's not going to fucking follow the rules. He's going to get in trouble again. Like, this is his life, even though he's lost everything. Like, he loses everything. His family's gone. But he won in a way. Like, he's not going to get arrested for anything he did because he got immunity because he was a fucking asshole. But it's like, yeah, his life is miserable. He's a shark. He always has to move.
Okay. All right. All right, so it is this question: what happens to Joe Camel after the mascot thing goes away? Right, so you know you would do that. He gets hit with a fine because again, like as part of this agreement, R.J. Reynolds had to pay out $10 million to San Francisco and other California cities who intervened in this litigation. Like, and it was, you know, the money went to non-smoke, to anti-smoking ads and stuff like that. So you do like his own personal fortune, like, you know, got. caught up in this. You know what I mean? Like, he reinvested all of his money in the tobacco company. He's betting on himself, essentially. He lost everything, right? Like, he is, because he was a complicit, he was a conspirator in this as well. Like, do you do, he himself has some community service he has to do?
He has to get on, like, an anti-smoking campaign or something.
He becomes a vape trick artist on YouTube, and he's just shills for subscribers, and he's this lame, lonely man who lives in his basement doing vape tricks because that's the coolest one. He's like, Joe, want to watch Joe? You have you seen this channel where Joe Camel, you know, old Joe Camel, he does vape tricks?
Well, yeah, he was like, no, don't you get it, guys? Like, smoking's still cool. It's tricks now, you know, you gotta blow rings, and he's like trying to like teach himself vape tricks out in the middle of nowhere in like some shitty one bedroom.
He goes to Coachella, or he goes to the Burning Man, and he walks into the Burning Man and kills himself. I don't know. He goes to Burning Man to do a bunch of drugs, and he sees a mirage. He walks out of the desert and dies. No, I know. I don't
it
have
does,
a...
like, I think it is, like, you do it. And I like the idea of this guy who's quashed his authenticity. I think you can even do it at the midpoint. Like, he falls in love and gets married, but his marriage is a sham because he's empty. He is just an empty vessel, right? And, like, he can't receive love because he's incapable of giving it, because he's incapable of giving a shit about anything, right? Yeah. Other than this, you know, this whole image, like, in this cheap, again, like, the buzz, the nicotine hit for him is the adulation of people and being recognized and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any, he's burned out his own capacity for, like, you know, meaningful relationships, right? So, like, everything goes away. He probably has a little money saved up. Like, he's got, you know, like, he's living in a, one-bedroom apartment somewhere. And, again, so it's essentially, what is that, like, him chasing... or he works at a grocery store and he's selling cigarettes to people.
Maybe he's like in prison, because I'm trying to think of like the equivalent, like if you do more like a Sunset Boulevard, it's like she's getting arrested and all this stuff, and she's still just like, am I ready for my close up? Like, she's in a different universe.
Like a Sunset Boulevard type thing is really good. I like that. I like him going to jail. And then the cigarettes are currency now. Do you know what I mean? Like, you do him looking at the pack of cigarettes that he's now selling to, you know.
Oh, okay. Yes. He's in prison. He's in the cell. And he's sitting there, and it's like his life's over. And then you get that spark of like he's going to keep moving on, because he hears two guys talking. He's like, hey, I'll give you that. It's like, how much does it cost? He's like, 4 camels. And his eyes light up. And he's like, I'm worth something. So like, you just realize like he's in prison, but it's like, all right, he's going to scheme his next. Like, he hasn't changed at all. He's going to figure out, like, I don't know what he's going to do. It's kind of that fast, but it's like, I got value in this place. Like, I'm going to be somebody.
Yeah, and it's like, the people that have value for him is a bunch of, you know, criminals.
He did something. In his mind, he's like, that would be the thing he says to the lawyer.
Like,
all you do is tear things down. I was like, I made something.
It's like, don't you get? No, it's like, these
my
people
name
here.
Means something.
It's like, my name means something. My name means money in here.
Yeah.
My name means money, and it always will.
Something. It's
I
an
like
hour.
The idea of he's going to jump him. He's going to jump off of the building of R.J. Reynolds. And then you do the Sunset Boulevard where the photographer talks him down by with his camera. And he's like, no, you're not Joe, you're not about to jump. You can't. After all this, you're not the guy who's going to kill himself. You're the guy who's leaning out, looking at the city, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, Joe's
like,
was cool.
Joe's like, yeah. And he's taking the photos like, now you're the guy walking into the elevator after a big business deal. And he's able to talk him back down, and he gets him onto his motorcycle, where then the cops jump him and arrest him. And then he gets dragged off to prison.
The last image is Joe Camel in his, like, you know, Joe Camel's gonna go out cool. It is just like all the other rebellious images he has of him on motorcycles. The same with his hands tied. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. He's like, anybody got a light? And it's like this babe is lighting up his cigarette. He's winking at the camera as he's going
into. And then they throw him into the paddy wagon. And it's just him weeping. He just breaks down weeping. And he realizes this is all along. He looks up and he sees the Trix mascot on the billboard, and that's the end of the movie.
But he gets his cool final image, but it's meaningless because he's going to prison.
Yeah, I like that. It's Sunset Boulevard.
Hold on. It's him saying that, and they throw him, because he's going nuts, they throw him into solitary. It's a dark sound in there from the darkness. He goes, anybody got a light? Anybody got a light? The Joe Camel, the rise and fall of Joe Camel. When we come back, the elevator pitch to, I don't know who we're
going to
pitch
maybe
this
we're
one
going
to.
Maybe we're going to, what do they call it, prison? Is it pig pen? What's a cool slang term for prison?
The pig pen? Is that what you just said?
What's
the Big Easy?
The Big Easy
Slammer?
We're going to go to the
Big
Slammer and go talk to Joe Camel, and we're trying to get the rights to his life story to make this movie.
To Joe Camel himself?
Because then we pitch, Wolf of Wall Street was literally made with, like, that was...
We're pitching it to Joe Camel.
We're pitching it to Joe Camel.
We're pitching Joe Camel when we come back.
I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek? Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No. Will you change your mind?
Welcome back. Now, the elevator pitch. Matt has pulled up the random number generator, and it is me, Freddie Wong, going into the cell. I guess it's not really an elevator pitch. It's a prison pitch to Joe Camel, who is still serving time for his complicit actions in the cigarette scandals of the 90s. You know the thing where they talk to each other on the phone?
Oh, yeah. We're in the visitation ward.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, what's your name?
Wong, Freddy. I'm here to see Joe Camel.
Please sign this waiver and put all keys, pointy objects, blunt objects, blunts, cigarettes.
Yep, here, sorry, go. Okay.
All right, you got 1 minute exactly.
Hey there.
Hey, Joe. Hi, my name is Freddy Wong of Rocket Jump fame. So, I called.
No touching!
You're just gonna talk to a man in prison without giving. You said he brought me some stuff.
Oh yeah, here. Here's
come on, a little small talk here. I don't talk to anybody. Got me in solitary.
Here, you want a cigo?
That's what I asked for.
Here, let me just light that for you.
Shit, that's contraband.
Come on, man. Just one. All right.
Okay, I guess we allow smoking in here.
What you got, kid?
So we want to do your life story. You see Wolf of Wall Street?
No, I'm in prison. We don't have a lot of movies.
All right.
In
well,
prison.
This is Goodfellas. This is Wolf of Wall Street. This is a rise and fall of an icon. That's what you are, man. You're an icon to an entire generation. We want to tell that story. We start with you in the desert with your family. You see the mirages because you know what you've always been, Joe. You've always been the epitome of ambition. Of drive. You're the American dream, baby, and you were in the desert.
Yeah.
You saw those lights of that circus that you first originally sort of got caught up, and you saw that, and you walked towards it. You chose to live that life.
Yeah.
And you went out there, and you made a name for yourself, and you ran into that the advertising executive, and you came up with the idea of perhaps the most sticky advertising idea of the 20th century, which is you gotta advertise them cigos to kids.
You know, believe it or not, I know my life story.
So, but we follow it. That's the movie. We follow you through that, and we follow you through.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I'm the prison warden here, and I just wanted to say I was coming over to shut this down because you're out of time, but I got so intrigued by your story that I'd like to hear the rest of it. That is, of course, if you're willing to let this prison warden wet his beak. If you've got some reason, I should look the other way, Freddy.
Oh, I guess, let's see. I got some Steam codes for... you play video games?
I love Prison Architect. Do you happen to have
a
Steam code?
I got Steam code for Prison Architect.
Very
so here
good.
You go.
I'll
here
be
you go.
Downloading this game. It's going to take me another minute exactly.
Believe it or not, I'm actually pretty busy in here. So give me 1 sentence about who I am in this movie. What is this about for me? When I watch this, I go, they nailed it. That's that's who I am.
This is a movie about a camel without humps who's always thirsty.
All right. I can get behind that. Warden, I don't need those extra 40 seconds. So, last question. How much am I going to get from this deal?
Well, according to, I believe, a number of U.S. federal laws, you are unable to profit participate in any work derived off of you as a felon. So, technically nothing.
As long as this movie makes me look super cool, then I'm in.
Oh, you look cool. You'll look really cool, Joe. Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye. Did you just sign here real quick for the rights?
No problem.
Okay, cool.
Shout out to Prison Architect. You can go ahead and download that game on Steam. It might be on GOG.com.
Oh, that's it for this week.
All right.
ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Hit us up at RJ Storybreak. That's who we are on Twitter. And we take your names. We didn't really use too many this time because we're
obviously didn't use any.
Well, because we're drawing from real source materials. But often in other episodes, we'll need, you know, people's names, and we draw upon a list for that. And we also, if you have any, like, we've had some amazing poster art. I think I want to just highlight last week for Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road.
Two great posters
that we retweeted off of at RJ Storybreak. But, like, yeah, just wanted to give a shout out to Mark Rental. That's at Mark Rental on Twitter. He did a minimalist Helvetica-esque black and white poster for The Other Side. That is really good. It's a very, very well done poster. It's like, you know, a black and white man following a chicken going across. Very well done. And it's got like the little, like the right font and everything. So, well, just fantastic. And according to this, it was the official Cannes selection, Sundance selection, and TIFF. So
movie did really well.
Hit the whole festival circuit.
Also, shout out to Albino Penguin once again coming through with a clutch poster for Untitled John Leguizamo Chicken Project, which I was a big fan of. The chicken is a metaphor for life. We'll retweet those on the RJ Storybreak Twitter account where you can go check them out.
And thank you to Sheed BB and Obsessive Viewer Anthology Pods for the new reviews on iTunes, which makes us always feel good. And to, of course, Janet Mangini, who this movie should really be about, actually a real hero, who is an incredible lawyer, I'm assuming, that helped get rid of Joe Campbell, who we now just immortalize in an incredible, well, I think, pretty good movie. So, sorry, Janet Mangini, you're a real hero.
You get all the royalties.
Yeah, you get all the royalties. All the profits are, after we, of course, get our sizable cut, all the profits will go to charity of Jam and Genie's Choice.
They have this thing called net points, and that's what you really
want.
You're
going to get those.
And, of course, thank you to Maximum Fun, the podcast network of which we are part of. Head over to MaximumFun.org and check out some very, very awesome podcasts and shows there. If you enjoy us, you might enjoy a bunch of the other ones on there as well. So until next time, we'll break you later.
That's super creepy. That is definitely not going to be the catchphrase going.
Okay,
okay. Yeah, anyways, bye everyone.
Break you later.
Hey, this is Griffin McElroy.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
And we've got a new podcast on Maximum Fun called Wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's an enthusiast podcast where we talk about things that we're excited about and things that you're excited about.
Things like overalls.
24-hour Sudafed.
The grand prize game.
The fact that wombats use their butts to kill predators.
The soundtrack to the movie Dick Tracy.
The beach potion we call Bud Light Lime.
All these things and more every Wednesday, and we'll also talk about things that you're excited about.
You can find us on MaximumFun.org or iTunes or wherever. I don't know, just search Wonderful. Google it, you'll probably get there.